May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Evan Essar once quipped, "Public speaking is the art of diluting a two-minute idea with a two-hour vocabulary." And perhaps there's something of that happening in divine revelation as well. God speaks the world into existence in 7 days, and then the rest of salvation history plays out over the ages since then. Yet there is something quite remarkable about the idea that God might actually try to communicate with us. In fact, Jeremiah shares some of what's on God's mind in our Old Testament lesson, quoting God as saying this, "He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock." In so doing, Jeremiah points out the Lord's deep and expressed desire is to restore and draw his people back into relationship with himself. St. Paul reiterates a similar idea in his letter to the Ephesians, that a loving God has communicated his divine hope to bring salvation to his beloved people, but now expanding it beyond Israel to all of creation, while at the same time connecting that salvation exclusively to the unique work and person of Jesus Christ. In Paul's mind, God's holy wisdom spoken to us shows the way to complete restoration through Jesus alone. And then St. John launches his gospel with a grand, perhaps even confusing, certainly mind-blowing picture of a universal Jesus. God's ultimate communication is the Word made flesh, equating God the Son with God's revealed rationale in his very nature. Jesus, at his core, is the full manifestation of God's idea of what he has spoken about over the centuries, his law, his wisdom, his love, his plan, his rescuing designs, but now approachable. The full divinity of God and his communication present in a fully human touch. Big plans. Big ideas, but taken all together, a bit overwhelming. In the hopes of making this a bit more accessible, I'd like to focus on the Psalms over the next several weeks through Epiphany until Lent. The Psalms give us a reflective pause between the Old and New Testaments that help us open our hearts to these kinds of big ideas that we find promised in the law and the prophets, fulfilled in Christ in the gospels, and applied in the lives and letters of the apostles. Just how does our selection from Psalm 147 make it easier to digest the big bite we just tried to swallow mentally? That God not only communicates his divine plan, but in a very real sense is the communication, is the plan, as we see it come to pass in Jesus. Well, very carefully, the psalm opens our hearts to this heavy idea, step by step. First, we're invited to approach in an attitude of worship. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Without a mind prepared to look heavenward, to be reverent, to expect to be awed, to wonder, to embrace mystery, we could easily be bogged down in the details or the weight of such a revelation. We need to learn to be comfortable with that which surpasses human understanding. And while we are rational beings made in the image of God, we need to remember that our minds are limited both by our finite humanity and our inherited predisposition to sin. That is why we need to have the mind of Christ. And we plug into the mind of Jesus more and more as we present our bodies as living sacrifices, ready and waiting to honor and adore the one who made us, set us free, and filled us with his very presence in the gift of his Spirit. We open our hearts to the deep truth of God as we approach God's revelation more worshipfully. Next, we are invited to see God's saving hand at work already, active in our lives, in our Jerusalems, if you will. The psalmist notes how God has protected his people, blessed them with a heritage seen here in the image of children, brought about shalom, the divine promise of security, peace, and abundance that our hearts long for, as well as ensuring not only enough in terms of our daily bread, but the finest wheat, the good stuff, fresh artisan baguettes, not merely buckloaf white bread. If we take time to open our eyes, to actually take stock even in the worst of our woes, we can still see how the Spirit has been protecting, providing, comforting, forgiving, preparing a way out of no way our whole life long. In short, the psalmist models for us an attitude of gratitude. We open our hearts to embrace God's revelation as we give thanks for what Jesus has done in our lives already. Then, we are summoned to consider a broader trajectory, to try to perceive how God is working beyond the walls, the borders, the confines of what we know. He sends out his command to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly. At this point, the psalmist moves away from the concrete images of his daily experience and into the metaphor of God's word effecting positive change in a future as predictively certain as the changing of the seasons. The Lord speaks his word, and it launches into the world like a wind sweeping away the cold winter of our discontent to bring about a promised future when humanity's sorrows melt into a springtime of joy. The psalmist doesn't flesh out the details of that idyllic heavenly future, but he is comfortable simply relishing the promise that God's wisdom, God's plan is indeed good and will indeed bring about good, however it may manifest in the broader world around him down the road. We open our hearts to savor God's word when we allow that kind of hope to displace our worries, doubts, fears, and ignorance. Then, we're summoned to center back on how God has spoken to us clearly already. He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and judgments to Israel. The people of God have always been a people of the book. We must always reconnect to the primary source that inspired us to look for and listen to Jesus to begin with, Holy Scripture. We look to those fallible heroes of the past who had the courage to trust an infallible God, those who in turn preached about and jotted down their experience of listening to the God who speaks. Now, much debate has arisen in the church over the centuries as to how best to approach the Bible. Is it on par with tradition or superlative to it? Is it God's inerrant communication or merely a human collection of writings by pious people? Is it uniquely authoritative or just one of many revelations across religions, philosophies, and cultures, part of an open source concept of divine revelation for those of you who may be tech savvy? I believe the most helpful way to approach the Bible is looking to Jesus by way of analogy. Jesus is entirely human as well as completely and wholly God. In the same way, the words we see in the Bible are entirely the words of the human authors, as well as the words that God wants us to hear. Now, the reasons why God shares those stories, laws, poems, letters, visions may not always be entirely clear. That's why we read the Bible in community, consulting with one another, as well as the church throughout the centuries, not only as a personal devotion. That's also why we rely on that which is most clear to help us understand that which is not that clear. That's also why we try to understand the broader context of history and culture and language insofar as we are able. The good thing is, the most important parts to know, that God loves us, that he made all things good, that he sent Jesus to live, die, and rise again to conquer sin and restore us back to God and one another, that he gives us his spirit and gathers us into his family to better learn how to live and to love, that an amazing eternity of blessing where heaven and earth are made one and death and sorrow are no more awaits us. These things are clearly and consistently repeated in the Bible. And the more we return to Scripture to reflect on our experience of following Jesus, the better we'll understand God's plan to save us and all his creation. As we center all of our reflections about God on Scripture, the more we open our hearts to understand and embrace the glorious mystery of his loving designs revealed to us. Our Lord has not only spoken to us, not only promised to bring about good things for his covenant people, whom he loves tenaciously, but has fulfilled those promises and made that revelation flesh and blood in the fully divine, fully human person of Jesus Christ. To grasp that, we need to have a heart that is ready to embrace truth deeply. So to make such openness of heart and mind possible, our psalm this morning encourages us to approach the bright light of divine revelation with humble and reverent awe, thankfulness for how Jesus is at work in us, courageous hope in a heavenly future, and thankfulness for how Jesus is at work in us and a groundedness in Holy Scripture. And over time, we'll find the more worshipful, grateful, hopeful, and biblical our approach is to the reality that God speaks to us through Jesus, the more amazing and multifaceted our discoveries of how Jesus manifests God's saving plans for us will be as well. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.